Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My wife's not a big Bond fan, but this is the only interview or podcast she considered coming on. She just peeked her head through there. This is the only one she's taken a bit of interest in. She's a big fan. Lydia?
Hello. How are you doing? You all right?
I'm your biggest fan.
Nice to see
nice
you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. I'm going to leave you to it. Bye-bye.
James and Joey Bone, the Bone Brothers.
This adventure,
Rio de Janeiro, baby,
has been the greatest thing we've ever done.
That ain't TK Maxx, is it?
Good evening, everyone. We are proudly here with two lads who have caught the Bond world by storm somewhat unexpectedly because they starred, I suppose, as themselves in the current Amazon Prime show 007 Road to a Million. They are the wonderful Bone Brothers, Joey and James. So, Joey and James, welcome to the show.
Good evening and nice to be here.
Yeah,
cheers, gents.
Nice to see them over this festive period. If you haven't caught the show, watch it over Christmas. It's a real one where you'll probably binge on it. There's lots of time, isn't there, in between the sort of cooking and opening presents. It's a perfect way to watch the show, I reckon. So, do recommend it to all those who haven't seen it.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
So in terms of our podcast, we're called Really 007, and you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and video on YouTube as well. So do check us out, and yeah, leave us a good review if you can. That would be nice for Christmas as well. So, guys, we were just saying before, how weird that we're even having this interview, because a few months ago, you couldn't have possibly imagined anything like this going on.
Not at all.
It's been a crazy ride, you know, like we were saying just before we jumped on. Obviously, you do the filming, and that's mad as has now been captured on film, you know, in itself, the journey out of this world and just living that experience. And then you sort of, that gets put to bed, the edit happens, and now everything else around it, it's sort of like reliving it all over again. And it's great that it's out there in the world. And, you know, now we get to meet people like yourselves and have a good chat about it.
Aired on the 10th of November, you know, so it's been out for a month now. And I mean, we've been doing interviews, premieres, podcasts, YouTube stuff. It's been madness, you know. It's not stopped since we've done it. And obviously the filming was a year or so ago and it was just great.
Well, I think we finished in it's been out a while, so we won't give anything away about where we ended up or anything, but or how we ended up, but we finished shooting at the was it the beginning of Feb, Joe, wasn't it?
Beginning of Feb, yeah.
Yeah, so you're talking from that to going out over 9 months, which is, you know, sort of flew by in one way, but it's a good old stretch. Yeah, it's a lot longer than we were actually. We started filming about, like, sort of four or five months before that. Right. Obviously, there's all different, was there 9 pairs of contestants on there? I mean, it was a full-blown military, it was a proper military-style operation from the production crew. I mean, it's unbelievable how it all got undertook. And obviously, being able to go back and watch it and seeing everyone else's journeys as it goes. So, like, you know, we're doing our stint, but then people are, like, obviously got a few different teams working on different things, but, like, you know, people can only, they can only shoot so much at so many times with so many people working on it. So we'd do our stint, we'd sort of might have a little gap in between, sometimes a bit longer, sometimes you'd be straight off to the next thing. But it was great because we'd go back to our normal jobs for a bit, knowing that we had somewhere else to go.
that was the best thing, knowing on somewhere else.
And did work know about it? Did your jobs, do your bosses know, or did you just keep putting sickies or what?
Well, we're both self-employed, so, you know, it was a case of, with me, sort of logistically organising clients of mine and contracts of mine to work with the guys that I have working with me. But thanks to my lovely wife, Hayley, she managed to, with the help of my dad as well, sort of get things organised. But everything was top, top secret. I mean, my dad didn't even know where we were. So he's speaking to Hayley and saying, "What, you know, where is he? Why don't you speak to him?" And my guys are ringing her. So I diverted my phone to her. We didn't have our phones on us at all through filming. So it was a case of, you know, she was just having a life through her teeth. So really, she deserves a medal as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think if our dad had found out about it, I'm like, the whole of South London would have known, and we were under strict orders.
Every pub in South London would know about it.
Not only under strict orders, legally we weren't allowed to tell people. So it was like, apart from our immediate loved ones, Joe's wife, my girlfriend. So we kept it. It was actually a night, you know, in this day and age, we've said it already, like in this day and age where everything's out there in the world, you know, no holds barred these days. It was really like refreshing to just be a little bit off grid and sort of keep it under wraps. It was great. I mean, obviously going back to that, like being self-employed, it has its benefits, it has its pressures with it. But that was one of the ones where it was, some of the contestants really struggled, I think, because they're working full-time in companies, in offices. A couple of the girls were nurses and stuff, and they couldn't really let, they had to keep it under wraps then. So we felt quite beneficial, like, or it benefited us in that capacity, you know what I mean? And
So it was all sort of top secret. What about in terms of, like, transport, if you're flying to one of the locations or in hotels, was there any, no giveaways, you know, like no...
We had no idea. We were told to pack a bag and it would be a case of, you know, need pack some clothes for warm weather, pack some clothes for cold weather, pack some waterproofs, pack some
skinny jeans for Scotland. Some skinny jeans for
Scotland. Skinny
jeans or weather. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, yeah.
35 degrees, he's rocking them.
You regret that choice. Yeah.
God. I did. About 3 minutes into it, yeah. Coming that thing.
No, it was crazy. I think obviously, like, but part of the fun of it, as well as, like, God, what a mad experience, was like us trying to guess privately where we'd be off to next. And we were sort of thinking about, because obviously, like, there's the James, you start to think about this James Bond aspect a little bit more. And when people are telling us, like, that you've got to pack a sort of itinerary for certain things, and, like, you know, if you're going into a jungle, you've got to, without telling you what you're bringing, you've got to bring certain attire, you know what I mean? Like, you've got to sort of pack for certain things like that. And we were starting to think, you know, we'd been to Venice, maybe it's going to get a bit bigger the next time around. So I think maybe the only real time was, I think we'd said possibly Brazil might be one or something like that, because it might be like the Amazon and that sort of thing. But other than that, we'd be rocking up at the airport and we'd be like completely wrong about where we were going.
Also, it was like thinking about the Bond, locations where Bond has been, you know, and working out. So, what film was that out of? What film was that? And it was just trying to second guess every time.
Is the fact that Bond's been to space ever worry you?
I'm fuming they didn't let us go up.
For five grand.
You can have a million, but are you prepared to go to space? Like, I wonder what, you know what I mean? That would put people under it, wouldn't it?
The budget on, you know, prize winnings versus getting someone in space, you know.
Hey, it's Amazon. They're going to fund it, definitely.
He's done it already, isn't he?
Yeah, it's true.
He's got a ready-made spaceship ready for the if there's a series two, who knows?
So which one of you applied, and what made you see it, and what made you think you would be good on it?
So I caught wind of it through, I think it was social media, something like that. I think we're all Bond fans at heart, aren't we? You know, we all watch the films, and especially this time of year, they're always on, and you watch them again and again. I just mentioned it to James like one day, and he was like, you know what? Sounds pretty good. At the start of it, you weren't sure it was Bond. It was just an adventure game show. We made a phone call. Dropped an email. Then we got a call. Then we did a couple of Zoom calls and whatnot. And we had a couple of meetings. And the next thing, we were in the Highlands.
Wow. Just dropped in the Highlands.
Yeah, pretty much.
I definitely owe my brother a bit of a solid for that one. He called upon me, which I'm forever indebted to him for. And also, I think, especially applying for Series 1, because I imagine Series 2, if all goes to plan, is going to have a few more applicants than Series 1, do you know what I mean? So, awesome. Yeah, no, it's good
time. Some of the contestants, you know, without spoiling much, they didn't get further than Scotland, did they? They're like, I'm one wrong, and that's it.
Do you know what? It's easily done. Without spoiling it, we got to meet all the contestants on the premiere night, and the ones who went out in Scotland who, you know, played a big role in episode one were such sweet girls.
Lovely people.
And like incredibly intelligent.
Yeah.
Higher IQ level than me and Joey, I'd say. But it was they had such lovely, and it's just seeing them, it was a reminder, because we very, very nearly, that could have been us, literally in that question. It was just a reminder about common sense almost goes out the window when you're under that sort of pressure. You start thinking about, you start contemplating things that just ain't really,
yeah, absolutely.
Hamlet definitely was a Dane.
He's the one who speaks to the skull, isn't it? Yeah.
Hamlet was a prince, Scottish.
Well, I get that, with the name Mac. Is Richard III a Shakespeare play?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to put it
put it on me, but...
Now, as someone who's not as well-read as you, I know Macbeth. I've heard of him. I know he's a Scottish guy.
Sometimes you've got to go with the obvious answer, and Macbeth is Scottish. You know what I mean?
Shall we go with the obvious answer then?
Just go with it. Because
I'm scared.
I know, so am I.
I'm scared.
A lot of money, man.
It's just a...
Forget the 5 grand.
Man. It's a proper...
Oh, no.
Yeah, go for C. Go for it.
Go for it.
If it's wrong, it's wrong.
All right, so are we going C, Macbeth?
I'm thinking now of the process of working out Ballerina. And
that was
so good to watch, because I didn't know the answer either. But then you, Joey, you know, said, two twos. And you kept saying, you know, and then...
two twos. proper light bulb moment.
Ding.
Who are these guys celebrating, you know?
That was a crazy... We had a few cocktails that night, I can tell you.
I think that was the beauty of it. It wasn't all, pub knowledge, general knowledge. There was, you know, you did have to work some things out, and you guys worked really together, kind of bouncing ideas off each other. So, I thought, you know, that was kind of the beauty of it, that you can get far. You can get far with the way you work it out.
I think that was Joey might agree, might say something, but I think that was almost the heart of what the show was about. Like when you see people's, different people's journeys, what we had to put ourselves through and work together. But in those moments, it really comes down to collaboration. And bouncing ideas off each other. Whereas if you're on your own and it's something like that, you don't necessarily have that benefit. You know what I mean?
Well, it's the old adage, isn't it, that two heads are better than one, allegedly. But certainly, the way we sort of played on it was that he had his side, James had his ideas, I had my ideas. When we both discussed it, hopefully they were the same. And we'd be like, well, that's it. We agree. Obviously, if it was different, then we discuss it and, you know, both give an argument. Both give, we think this, we think it's that. And, you know, eventually we got to the right answer, hopefully.
Well, I mean, we don't worry. We can have spoilers here because I'm right.
It's out.
None of you, yeah, spoiler warning. You got all your questions right, didn't you?
Yeah.
Those are the general rules,
yeah.
You aced that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's scary. You did amazingly, those ones.
Yeah.
No, thanks a lot. I think even when we thought we were like positive, we had the answer right, like the one in the cable car with the bossa nova question. We were like,
oh, yeah.
like anyone really in that moment when you listen to the music, you're like, yeah. I think the option was longing. You know what I mean? I'm sure people, if you haven't said it already, you can go back and have a look. And we were like, it just makes the most sense. Like we were almost like, you know, you can't say positive, but we were pretty certain that we had the right answer.
Are you sure your answer is the right one?
Just think about all that money.
Luck.
Oh, God. Let's put the frighteners in.
Your answer is...
It's taking too long.
Arriving outside.
Oh, f***ing what an asshole.
We'd had about an hour's sleep from the filming and that.
Yeah.
Like, we were proper up against it. And then like, a couple of things happened like during the thing. We saw we thought we'd see something that suggested we had the answer wrong. Then the helicopter's flying in and it's got a red light. It's his bloody safety light, which is in hindsight, it's on every helicopter. Do you know what I mean? But we were just like, oh, we've got it wrong. Do you know what I mean? But so then when the canister went green, it was literally a release of like, not just winning the dough and going on, but like all of that tension.
That was a roller coaster of emotion in that cable car. Like James said, you know, we had a 3-day trek through the Amazon. We climbed the mountain. You know, it very very little sleep, and then I mean, I think there was a few tears shed in that one.
Yeah. I mean, James Bond doesn't do that much in a normal film, does he? I mean. That's...
That's it. Yeah, no, we were just waiting for them to put a pretend, you know, Jaws or something. You know, it was. I mean, that was mad. I mean, even stripping away from the show, I mean, people just don't get to do that kind of thing.
No,
like, stuck in the middle of there, there was no one else. We were shooting really early in the day. There was no one else up there. And a couple of hours later, it's got thousands of people coming in and out of it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, no, it was great. Like, eternally grateful for what we were able to experience. You know?
Welcome to Sugarloaf Mountain.
Jeez. Oh, mate. We're climbing up it.
He's having a laugh, isn't he? How the F are we going to do that?
I'm guessing we're going to stick the gear on and give it our best shot.
Tell you what, some of it's slippery, mate. Oh, mate. Jeez.
Oh, God.
This is hard work, James.
I'm struggling here.
Were you able to kind of either side of doing the actual task? Were you able to stay in that location and just enjoy it a little bit, or was it literally just
couple of days downtime? The further away we were, i.e., Brazil or Jamaica or whatever, obviously logistically traveling, you've got to have a bit of a rest in between and stuff. So we did get a little bit of time. I mean, the shorter destinations, we were there for a shorter amount of time. It didn't take us long to get there. You know, we were able to move around a little bit easier and whatnot. We had a couple of days downtime, and Brazil and Jamaica, for me, are just amazing places, and I can't wait to go back there.
They didn't put you in a hostel, though. They put you somewhere.
I stayed in it. I travelled South America when I was in the sort of early 20s, and it was nice that I was in a hostel that time. I was in the cheapest ones, as you can imagine. So it was nice to be treated a little bit more of this time around, they were paying. But yeah, no, it was obviously, I think, you know, we had a little bit of downtime, but it's important to state that the production crew didn't. I mean, they were like footlight. Whereas we'd obviously have a day or two to sort of gather our bearings and that. That was because they were obviously setting up for what was going to come next. And you know, they're putting like 18, 19, 20 hour days. Like,
and was that the same people from each task? Did you get to know the same crew?
Pretty much, but we had a few different directors and a few different cameramen and whatnot. But generally, you know, we were all working as a big team. Obviously, they were shooting with the other contestants as well. So they were switching it about at different locations. But yeah, I mean, listen, what a team. 72 films. The production company are amazing. I can't say enough about them. They're just great guys. They're like one big family. You know, hopefully we've made some friends there for life. They're really, really good guys. We didn't want for anything. If you had any issues, they were on hand for you, no problem at all. Obviously, look, they were putting us through the ringer. We were doing these physical and mental tasks. But at the end of the day, you know, there was a big goal that we were aiming for, and we achieved it pretty much. But yeah, these guys earn their money. They really, really work hard, and they can't do enough for you.
Obviously, like the series one, it's a, you know, as has been stated, like for the genre of TV, like factual entertainment, it was like it's not really been done before, like that sort of show from a production level, from the budgets, from everyone involved, and the nature, like. There's been, you know, there might have been formats that are similar and stuff, but in terms of like the size of the show and stuff, so like the amount of planning, and obviously they're learning, you know, you can plan everything until you're blue in the face, but if, when you're on the job and you're learning as you go, like they were really sort of, they kept calm for around us when probably there were moments that they were like, you know, having to make sure that they were
picking professional out, like, all the way through that.
So I think, like, going on and series, like, there'll be series two. Like, I can only imagine it will get better and better, because obviously, like anything, you learn as you go.
Because when you film it, obviously, you know, you've got these cameramen and they're staging these terrific shots. You know, it's such a massive production. But was it only truly when you saw it back that you thought, goodness me, this is so epic? This is like Bond film. It is. It just looks like a Bond film, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does look like a Bond film. And, you know, it's even made me look good. That's how good these camera angles are. You know, these guys are—they are the top of their craft. You know what I mean? And whether it be, you know, first camera or the drone guys, or the drone shots. Like when you look at it, we're just out of this world. Like absolutely amazing. Like say, it is a movie. It is a top movie.
Just think about that. There's footage of you guys in a cable car. Well, after you've climbed up the mountain, gone through the jungle, and then you're climbing on top of it. You know, and these unbelievable shots of it with John Barry's music in the background. You're like, what?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, Tom. I think, like, firstly, it's mad that we got to do it. But secondly, like, not even from a vanity purpose, although it's bloody great that people can see us climbing a mountain, but it's just like the fact that it's actually been caught on camera, and like we can, in 50, touch wood, we're still here in 40, 50 years or whatever, like, we'll be able to look.
It's in the history books.
You know what I mean? And it's like very, like, grateful that they sort of, because obviously everyone's, you know, we've all got lot of memories and lifetime experiences, and we've been places, and, you know, you can capture that, but to be sort of like caught at that level with a production and stuff like that, it's mad, like, you know, really great.
You'll never take a selfie again, will you, on holiday?
You know, my girlfriend wants us to go to Venice. I'm like, how's it going to compete with that? You know what I mean?
There's that amazing moment in the just before you go to the casino when you get dolled up in the dinner jackets, though. I mean, that, like, as brothers, that must have been a special moment for you.
Yeah. Favourite scene, definitely. That's my favourite. That's where we was, the favourite location, Jamaica. The whole lot of it was the best for me. But the casino, after being, you know, dragged through the hedge backwards, if you like, we got dolled up, and it was great. It was a different side of it, and it was very, very Bond.
Yeah,
that was one of those moments, and like it was a strange one that night, because it was obviously a lot of the other stuff had been very physical, like based in that, and that was purely like a mental sort of a mental process. But yeah, quality. And I mean, the villa that we were in there, it was like you wouldn't even know it was there. It was one of them. It was so millions upon millions of dollars.
You'd have to win road to a million to stay there a few nights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was a special moment, though, that, like, seeing, because you kind of represented, like, you know, your everyman kind of. So like when you got to dress up like that in that location, I assume Tom was the same. For me, you know, it's like, wow, you know, imagine that being you. Like imagine I was like projecting myself into that situation. Like,
yeah,
what an amazing moment and treat. And of all, I think of all the, you know, amazing like stunts or, you know, activities and adventures, that was one of the most special. Obviously, I'm a huge, huge Bond fan, so it obviously meant a lot to me. But just to, for you guys to kind of live as James, in that moment, you were pretty much James Bond, which is just amazing.
Yeah, no, it was...
It felt real good.
It was, like you say, at the time, you're almost not putting all the different pieces of the puzzle together. But obviously, now when you look it back, it is the whole purpose of the show and anything is like they're building the story bit by bit, episode. So, you like everything you've just said there, Harry, it's like you've done this, we've sort of been through the ringer and that. And then to just sort of bring it all into that one place where we got to spruce up a little bit, it was, it made a nice change from everything else as much as the other stuff. So, no, it was cool, really cool.
And it's the first sort of time that we had any dialogue with the controller.
Yeah.
Obviously, Brian Cox and
you thought he was in the house, didn't you?
Yeah.
This adventure has been the greatest thing we've ever done in our life.
Yeah.
So we ain't ready to go home yet.
How sweet. But remember one thing. The house always wins.
That was like, well, this is, this has got real now, you know?
Yeah, this
guy means business.
Yeah. Did you think he was like the villain or what? Who was he? Did you not know? He just this guy who's doing all these things.
I mean, I think he was trying to come across as a Bond villain, you know? They were calling him the patroller. He was setting the task. It was his money that he's giving away type thing. Also, he gave us a few treats. I mean, it's not often you dial up and, you know, go to casinos and drink cocktails and go in helicopters and go on speedboats and things like that. So, yeah, although he's making you work for it, he's definitely rewarding you.
Have you had the chance to meet Brian?
We met him at the premiere. Yeah, really, really nice guy. Yeah, I mean, that was another amazing night. But like those sort of things, everything's quite fast paced, and you're doing a bit of press, and then you're doing a bit of press like it's just every day. You know what I mean? But doing a bit of press. You're doing the press day, and then on the carpet, and then you're straight into the premiere. But we did a Q&A. We were lucky enough, along with Josh and Kamara, to be invited on stage to do a Q&A with Brian Cox and David Glover from 72 Films, whose idea the show was, essentially, Greg at Eon. So, and then there's us two from Croydon just sitting up on the chair.
Yeah.
Quite mad. Really nice guy. But only a brief catch-up, but no, really nice guy.
I've got to say, though, don't know why people aren't mentioning it more, you are one letter away from James Bond, obviously.
Yeah. In the alphabet, yeah.
Yes. I know. Who would have thought it?
He has dined out on that all his life. I don't know.
He tries
to play it down a bit. But
this is my Sean Connery role, Nick. I thought I might as well own it. But now, sort of growing up and stuff, and particularly, you know, going abroad and traveling and stuff like that. Like whenever I check into, every day of life, I don't even really think about it. But like you check in at a hostel or a hotel, and obviously, James Bond is a global thing. So like people working on reception would always be like, James Bond, or whatever like that.
Yeah.
They didn't think enough of it. And then we've ended up on a bloody show.
Yeah.
Bloody 007
thing. It was fake. It was written in the stars.
Randomly remembered the, when you're in Venice, that was really tense. When you had to wait until like sundown, basically, to get that boat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was awful, that.
That was testing. That was testing. That was a long day as well. And I mean, it was like 90 plus degrees in Venice that weekend.
It muggy as well.
Yeah.
Never been bitten by as many mosquitoes. Even when we were in the Amazon, Venice, literally, I got eaten alive, man. It was like... real thing, but so hot. But again, a beautiful city, very, very busy. But yeah, just a torment of having to hang about until the like regatta had finished. It was just another element. Like, wow, I mean, what have we got to do to get this money?
We didn't even really clock like the regatta was on at the time. You know, like when like where there were boats going through, and it was taking us a bit of a like. It was so busy there. I mean, yeah. It took us a bit of time to like fathom what was going on, and then obviously getting out there. But I mean, those shots that we've got a few. We posted them on our Bone Brothers Instagram actually, of just us on that buoy with the sun going down over Venice, and proper cool shots. Actually, I must say.
I was going to say that was the sort of first time that we saw a couple of stills from the photographers and the director, and we were like, this looks absolutely epic, you know.
There were a few occasions, that was one of them, where you had to interact with members of the public, like the guy at the boat. How was it filming this with cameras around you, but how aware were you, really like self-aware that you know, people looking and stuff, and were public stopping to look at you? And
I've got to be honest. I think those. I mean, as you can probably tell, we don't mind having a chat anyway. Do you know what I mean? I think probably those sort of things are like, saying with all humility, it comes quite natural to us to like we'll have a chat with people anyway. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So like, that's just part of our personalities. Here we are. So like, obviously, you know, you know, we're polite. We'll always be sort of in, but we had to get the job done as well. So in terms of just going up and having a chat, asking people,
you had the residents shouting out of the windows telling you where to go, didn't you? Just shouting at Ross.
It was like Beverly Hills Cop, you know, using Bardo,
Del Boy Italian, that's what that was.
I think with that money with her, we might have to buy some Italian lessons.
Buongiorno.
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 How you doing?
Hi. Paletta Inglese. We are looking for a street called Fondamenta Nova.
Donna Dalla Rossa.
Donna Dalla Rossa.
You know?
Do you know it?
No.
Where?
Maybe I'm not sure.
Well, I can just about grasp the English language, so the Italian language, you know, I've only been here 20 minutes.
And you went, of course, to the Alps, you know, for the final bit. I mean, I've been there, but that's absolutely spectacular, isn't it?
Beautiful place.
Yeah, no, really. And again, like going back, you know, we literally saw all different corners of the world at different top points of the year. Mm. And like, you get a real grasp of, or you just get reminded of the beauty of the world in all different capacities. You know what I mean? Like that, the final sort of shot where we ended our journey, like that dome that we walked down.
Oh, yeah.
In some ways, like, I know, I mean, it looks amazing on the screen, but it almost didn't do it quite justice the way we were walking down, because we saw it from the top going down. It was like something from a fairy tale or something. Like,
it really was.
It was mad. Like, it was amazing. Didn't quite go to plan for us when we got there, but the view, the scenery was nice.
That shooting was so difficult. It was so unfair, that.
Impossible. Is it impossible? Do you know what? I could still be there now.
That was one of the. I mean, to be fair, like, you know, you get to that point, you're going from our question. I mean, you know, is everyone knows we won $300,000. We can talk about that now. Apologies if you can mute it if you don't want to.
No.
I think the next question would have been, Joey, what was it, for $500,000?
Yeah, well, we'd have to get through that shooting task, and there was another couple of tasks before you got to the question, and then that was for $500K.
But I mean, $300,000 is a lot of money to anyone. But I mean, you're jumping up to £500,000. I mean, it ain't going to be easy, to be fair. So I mean, it weren't easy, and it was bloody hard. But I think to win £1 million. Eventually, hopefully, touch wood for everyone involved, the series goes on, they get like franchises or whatever. Eventually, someone is going to win it.
And someone will get there, like, without doubt.
But it's going to be like, good luck to them when they do, because it's not going to be easy. You know what I mean?
When the time ran out and the thing exploded, what were your emotions then? I mean, there must be so much going on in your head.
I mean, devastation to start with. I absolutely, like, you know, because.
Is there some deleted footage of you?
It wasn't just about the money. It was like, we had had such a good time doing it. You know, we felt like movie stars. We were getting ferried around to, you know, like James said, the four corners of the globe, traveling in a nice vehicle, you know, I would say, you know, luxury to some extent, really, really well looked after. And then it was just gone. A blink of an eye, an explosion, and that's it. It's game over. You know, we have won a life changing amount of money, so there is no way that we would ever be, you know, upset. But obviously, you always want to go as far as you possibly can in anything, do in life. And then I realised that actually our journey had finished and it was back to work Monday.
Yeah.
You know, it was hard. James touched on it earlier, but when we'd finished filming a section and we came back for a few days, it was like, although we didn't know where we were going, we knew we were starting again somewhere. Yeah. Whereas this was now end of. And that took a little bit for me, a bit of time. You know, it was great to come back and see my girls and see my wife and whatnot, but it was like, we're not going to be going anywhere else now. And it was upsetting. Not upsetting, but, gutting.
Yeah.
It was, I think, like, it, you know, I'm not really one for, like, major regrets if you've given it your best shot. Do you know what I mean? It is what it is. I think, like, you know, looking back, we could have probably fired the gun a bit more, with a bit more rapido than we probably did, that sort of stuff. But I think, like, you know, you're clutching the straw. I don't think we would have got it, to be honest. I think that's the way it was. Like, I guess the main thing, the clincher, was we had a positive mindset going, and it got stronger as we went through. Like, being ourselves, obviously, we're close. We obviously would be talking about, we were positive we were going to win a million. Like we just feel like we're on a bit of a roll. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, which I guess is how you should, you know, not in an arrogant sense, but just felt like, right, we won. If we've got to climb another mountain that's twice as high as Sugarloaf, we'll do it. Like, you know, we're not going to. So to go out like that, ironically, the first time a bit of skill was required. Which might tell us something, but.
Yeah, wrestling a snake is quite impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, that was good fun. Again, maybe not a situation you'll find yourself in every day, but yeah, good fun.
Even then, we literally went, like, I'm watching back, we literally went for every answer, we'd agreed on every possible answer and then got back again. So you don't really have a, like, in the end, you're like, well, we think it's this, let's go with it.
For £25,000.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
What's the length of this snake?
Jesus. Oh, mate.
185 centimetres? 220 centimetres? 265 centimetres?
Well, were you and me...
About 190?
We're closer to that.
We have another look at him. See, just looking at him, I think he looks shorter than us.
Yeah, but we've got to do it properly, though.
Yeah, no, right. Well, let's go. Well, you want to get him out? I think you've got to do it firmly, because...
Muscles are just next level. I don't want to upset him.
Well, no, but if you're tickling him, he's getting wound up. You've got to do it all in one motion. That's it. And I don't think you should pull him out.
No, I'm not pulling him out, but you've got to give him a...
Oh, he's heavy. He's heavy, mate. He's heavy. Right.
OK.
Right, he's heavy.
Right, hold on, let him lie on the floor. I just get that tape measure quickly. Just let him wiggle out. Let him sort of...
He's not going to wiggle out. He's going
to... Yeah, look, I'm trying to ease him out lengthwise.
Right, hold tight. I'm going to stick my glasses on. And run him.
Hold on. Strangling him.
I'm not strangling him. He wants to strangle us. But he's got to hold it on his head.
Joe, he's a fucking snake. Like, he's pulling away. Get round there quickly.
I've got to come back round. So there. He's 185.
You sure?
I reckon he's 185.
Right, hold on, he's pulling away, yeah?
All right, just keep it on in there.
This is not what I envisaged when I came to Venice.
But you're not right at his snout, though. I know you don't want to be near his...
I might be near his snout, but right I need the, you to, like...
Right near the business end.
All right, he's laying low, so just do it quickly.
Right. Right. You got the snout?
Yeah, I've got the snout. I've got it this side.
Right, so...
So you've got to basically...
I'm trying to do it, but I'm losing his tail, see? Well, I need to pull his tail down here. There's a good boy. There's a good boy.
Be a girl.
Try and relax him, try and relax him. Try and relax him.
You've got to let him do what he wants to do as well.
220 now. Let's do it one more time.
Oh, bloody hell. Go on, quickly, this is the moment, because he's doing there. All right, what is it?
Now I've got 255.
Push it into the... Well, maybe it's 255 then.
No, but it's not on... It's 185, 225 or 265.
All right, Joe, just calm yourself down here.
Now I've got 246, but I'm losing it around there.
All right, we need to get this right.
I don't know. I've got like 230.
Well, that's closer to 225.
You've come down a bit, haven't you?
All right, look.
There he goes. There you go. Just make sure he don't recoil on his head. Good boy. Whew, mate, I don't know. I'm plumping for 225, but then as you started sliding it about, it was getting more and more. 220, I think it is, but I honestly don't know. It's either 220 or 265.
All right, mate. All right, so listen. I had 252 and 256, I think I measured.
That's right. We're well over 185. I'm going to go 265. You happy with that?
Yeah, I think we should go 265. It's 265.
Yeah, all right. Listen, we've had a go. It's not easy.
There's only so many times you can measure a snake. Cool.
C265.
For £25,000, you selected answer C. Your answer is...
Were you, like, told that if you got one wrong, I was worried, is that it? Like, say you got to 300 and then you don't get anything if you get it wrong. Or did you know each one?
We knew we banked at each level.
Good, right, you.
Yeah. No, that's like the rule. Like the rules of the game is whatever you. If you leave with nothing, if you go out first, you lose. But if you win, you go home with what you've banked, essentially, which is a touch because, like, by the time you've got to £300,000, you are like, you know, it could be worse. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
100%.
But no, it was. Would have loved to have gone further, but what can you do? Could be worse. There ain't no complaints this side. Put it that way.
No way.
So when you get back, and then there's a few months, isn't there? Presumably before it's all. You know, edited and everything, and then you watch it. Did you watch it before it broadcast?
We managed to go to at the premiere. They showed the first two episodes, so we watched that like in the cinema. It was at Battersea Power Station where the premiere was. Then we did the Q&A, and then Prime Video were kind enough to sort of put on. We said it for all contestants in a local cinema for friends and family and other Prime members. So we watched another episode then, and then, it went straight to stream. So we'd seen the first two or three, and then I just binge-watched it. James and Delphine, like, his missus came round on the Friday, and we watched it all.
Did it surprise you? Were you surprising yourselves watching it? Like, you know, how you came across and how it all worked out? You've got, you know, it's honestly been, from viewers, you guys are great. Was there any... nerves, you know, like how are we going to be portrayed, or, you know, were we worried at all? Happy to just leave it to the people editing.
It's a good question. Like, I think because we were just ourselves the old time. Do you know what I mean? If people hate us, we probably would have to have change up your personality. But like we literally just did ourselves. We did our best. You know, luckily we did manage to get. Like reasonably far in the thing, so we thought, well, we couldn't really have done anything more from our side.
He got to hold it on his head.
Joe, he's a f-ing snake.
That ain't TK Maxx, is it?
Very nice.
Some of those mountains there look a bit naughty, don't they?
Proper naughty.
Did she say that cross the bridge and go right?
You spoke to her.
Yeah, but we're both in it together, aren't we?
In the words of Axl Rose, welcome to the jungle.
Definitely didn't get the memo on the dress code. It's budgie smugglers and thong bikinis, mate.
Here you are.
Get in there.
Sweet as a nut.
What's the game called? Craps.
Crabs.
No, craps.
Craps. Crabs. Different type of problem. Have you ever been to the Alps?
No.
I've never even been to Milton Keynes ski rink, let alone.
£1 million, man. What wouldn't you do?
One of the great things about this show, and almost going all the way back to when Joey like asked me on it, obviously there are like, there's a lot of shows out there and they all serve a great purpose in their ways, but like depending on the type of show, like a kind of reality kind of show, there are some shows out there that might be a little bit more built on kind of exploiting people's like personality or like pinpoint, you know, like getting that kind of stuff, which ain't really my scene. It's not really our scene. Do you know what I mean? We're not really about that. So this show, like, it really sort of, it just felt like a positive experience all round. I mean, for all the contestants as well, like, I'm not looking at any of those. I don't see, there was obviously some people got further than others, but there's not one point where it's like trying to mug people off, basically.
They want you to succeed to a point. You know, the production crew and whatnot are on your side, if you like. They want you to do well. They're obviously in any way are they giving you any help or any pointers, but it's not like, let's make him look silly, sort of thing, the way James. Yeah. I mean, we do that ourselves anyway, like, no problem. But it's a case of, like, do you know what, guys? Go at it. And me and James, we have got a positive outlook on life or whatnot. It's like, give it your best shot and have a go. And I think every contestant, whether or not they did get as far as, you know, as they got, each one gave it their best shot. And if a task's too difficult or the question, you can't know everything, you can't do everything. But the way we look at it, grab every opportunity you can with both hands and fingers crossed you get there. And then, you know, look, we went out, the explosion happened, but we'd had a bloody good ride, you know, we'd had a good go and our time had come.
How aware were you of your fellow contestants and competitors? Had you seen them in any of the countries or
didn't meet them until the premiere?
None at all, yeah. The only time we sort of thought they might be around was, well, twice, and it turns out they were around, but we never crossed paths, and I put it like that. It was in Jamaica, the three of us, the five in the casinos, around the Alps as well. That was the only time when it was like, oh yeah, you're so focused on your own journey the whole time, you're like, it's quite strange to like sort of almost got cross paths with people, but we never saw them and we weren't allowed to talk to them anyway. We always had sort of chaperones with us off camera as part of the production and stuff, so, which is, again, it was like a military style operation for those guys because we weren't allowed to cross paths. So
we did make up for it at a premiere and have a few beers with them.
Oh, right. Yeah, did you? Yeah.
And they're all great guys and girls, really nice people.
Yeah. I'm a musician as well. And I just played a gig up in Glasgow and caught up with the Scottish girls up there, Grace and Daniela, who went out in Venice. But, you know, literally, we met them at the beginning of November at the premiere, just the once. And I said, listen, if you're about, I'm playing up your neck of the woods in a couple of weeks. Come out. So I'll put them on the list. They come along and we ain't going to see each other every day. But when we do, if everyone's around, we'll cross paths. You know what I mean?
They've set up a WhatsApp group, the two girls, Grace and Daniela. And, you know, at the start of it, obviously while the show was going to air, it was aired and whatnot, there was a load of chat. Obviously, like any WhatsApp group, it's gone a little bit quiet, but the odd message is still exchanged and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, we might keep in touch with a few people via WhatsApp and things, but who knows?
You guys, and then in the series to come, have shared this unique experience that very, very few people will have. So it'd be fascinating to trade stories about the different tasks and all that.
Yeah, when I see it, like, you know, that's one of the things that I was most excited about watching, really. Like, obviously, it's great to see you and share it with your loved ones and stuff, because they, you know, that was a real highlight. Like, we had, like, Prime and the team, Amazon Prime and the team were lucky, kind enough to, we had the main premiere, and then we had a local premiere that we were able to, like, they hired out a cinema screening for us, and we are, you know, inviting friends and families and that. So it's great to have that moment, but then also to watch it back and like see everyone else's journey and where they went and stuff, and thinking, oh mate, mad climbing cranes and going through Chile.
The big question is though, do you two guys fancy another set of brothers? Do you fancy the chances?
We've been asked, but I said, I'm totally scared of heights, so I don't think there's any chance for me.
Send your brother up. That's what Josh did to Kamara.
Say that again. Oh, yeah.
You'd do that bit, Harry, wouldn't you?
Do you know what? If I was just, I'd think I'd be all right with all of them, but I've got a massive phobia of the water and sea. So when you had that task where you two had to dive down, I would have been really panicking then. I can't stand the water. I would have hated that.
That was really, really good fun, but that was really physically tested.
That was
tough. But we were in like paradise, you know, the Caribbean Sea. But physically tough. But what a thing to do. I love that. I loved it.
You like going to the Lake District, Harry? You
know? That Scottish Sea was a lot chillier than the Caribbean when we were in there. That was real deal. But it was just you know, throw yourself into things, didn't you? On those moments, I think that's what, one of the things we said to each other, like, let's just not have any regrets about any of it. Do you know what I mean?
That showed, you know, the camera did love you. And some of the other, there's a couple of lads, I don't know, they were on screen for about 10 minutes, and even though they answered about three or four questions. And it shows that you, obviously, the producers saw you progressing as a couple who were really interesting. And the viewers... The first episode came out and you were the two who everyone was talking about. And it's not just because you were on the most, it's because you were, I suppose, the most relatable in many ways, the most engaging.
Yeah, at the school where I worked, the staff room, the Bone Brothers, that's all I was hearing.
we were on the we had our little Bone Brothers self-employed Christmas bash on sad, really, didn't it? We just thought, well, we haven't got no other friends, we'll just go out of each other on the so we had our little we went up to Manchester to watch Man United Chelsea fans. We're Chelsea fans. So we went out there, but we were just literally having a chat on the train, and obviously, you know, we've got quite distinguishable accents, I guess. And a lady came up to us on the train, and she just heard Joey's voice, and she was like, "I was watching you were the boys on the TV. I was watching it last night." Our voice precedes us maybe than our faces even. But again, it goes like these things last however long they last. And listen, we're always up for doing more stuff. We loved it. We loved every second of it. And like we enjoyed that process, really. We like being in front of the camera. You know what I mean? Why beat around the bush? We enjoyed all that sort of stuff. And if anything else comes of it, brilliant. But like however long that lasts, just that moment of and that experience we'll take it with us forever, you know?
Yeah, you're never going to forget it. Never going to forget it.
Has it boosted your music career, James?
Bits and bobs. Like, you know what I mean? I thought I'd be retiring in Jamaica. It's a fickle world, that music game. It's helped the cause a little bit, like, for sure. I've been getting a few festivals. I mean, I had a few in the bag for next year anyway, like festivals and stuff, but people have got in contact, and obviously we've had a bit more love on social media and things. But I'm recording my second record at the moment, my second album, and I'm releasing new music from January. So like it's all part and part. It's all a bit of a trickle-in effect, isn't it? You know. My sea was set for sail, and then the lightning struck me, caught up in another tale. It seemed the luck had ducked me. I fumbled in my pocket for a tenner that I swear I left there, 'cause I never have a wallet. I thought I knew I'd have to bunk the train fare, and then my situation rose to take another step. Up in Archway Station, without a ticket I slowly crept under the barriers, praying the steward don't see me. Think I'll become a liar, 'cause I told the truth and look where it got me. There goes my soul, down in the underground on the Cali Road, where Billy don't make no sound. To the eyes of the law who he knew before, banging, banging, banging on his basement door. There goes my soul, sailing round the underground here.
do a Bond song?
Mate, I tell you what, I wouldn't say no if they offered me, but there might be a few people in the line ahead. You know what I mean? But if they need me, Joe and play triangle, we'll get us on the field together.
Bongos, more like bongos, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It was funny though, seeing this epic Bond music. You must have found that amazing whilst you were watching, doing your tasks on the show. That's so good.
I mean, the soundtrack to Bond films is second to none, isn't it? I mean, they're nearly as famous as the films themselves and the artists that record the tracks. And yeah, I mean, just the whole thing is amazing. It's just epic.
We went back and Delphine and I went back and she loves James Bond, but she's French. Like, she hasn't necessarily watched all of the older films like we would have done growing up and stuff. So we went back, and from the very first one, over the past sort of few months, we've had a bit of a binge watch watching that. So we're sort of getting up to the Daniel Craig era again. We've seen them all, obviously, anyway, but going out. It's just been great to sort of like get into that side of it, into the actual films again. Like, oh, I always loved them, but you watch them and then you sort of, well, I guess you guys are probably very much a tuning in, but you sort of watch them and then you don't see them again for a few years and that sort of stuff. Yeah. So it's been nice to revisit that as well.
Which ones do you like? Which are your favourites?
I think that, I mean, like I said, we've obviously been asked this question a little bit and you've probably been told this a lot. I mean, I think the new era of the Daniel Craig films are definitely like a real kind of, they've sort of opened up a new sort of genre themselves, I think, for Bond. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So I love Casino Royale from that period, but I like a lot of the Roger Moore films.
Skyfall for me is my favourite Bond film. Live and Let Die was always my favourite from the older era.
Was there any point when you're on a task and you're picturing yourself as James Bond? And if you didn't, who would you anyway? Which Bond would you be?
I think that was that moment when he walked out of that, when he walked out of the sea in Jamaica. We were like, I mean, I was creasing behind the camera because like, you know what they're setting it up as, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
But I think if we had to be any, like we could be, but I think like Roger Moore probably, because he was the most banterish one, really. But I don't think we could carry off Daniel Craig in any stretch of the imagination.
Nah.
You did more stunts than Roger did going up that mountain.
He had the life of Riley, didn't he?
He just cracked a few jokes.
Yeah.
Women as well.
That's good. Yeah, literally, they've all done that, haven't they?
No, guys, thank you so much for joining us. You're two legends, two Bond legends, though. Now,
yeah,
you've always got that on your CV.
And you're
a bit richer as well. So, well done.
Yeah, congratulations.
Cheers, guys.
Been really, really nice to chat to you both. Well done on the podcast as well.
Yeah, no, lovely.
So you're cracking on, and it's great to see, man.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, good stuff. Well, we look forward to the next Bond film, but we look forward to the next series of 007 Road to a Million. And you guys can just sit back at home, crack open a beer and watch it and just relax.
Yeah. And I think being part of the inaugural, the first series, that'll always put you in possibly the most special place. If there's 8 or 9 series, however many, people will always remember the Bone Brothers in series one. I'm certain of that.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. It's interesting. And I guess that's the interesting thing with the streamers these days is as the series go out, people can go back and revisit. We'll go back and revisit that. So that'd be nice. No, it's great. It'd be lovely. Really nice to chat to you both.
You too.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us.
Have a good Christmas, guys.
Yeah, happy Christmas.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.